Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the next level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. As has been said, this show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. It's my hope that you will come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. This is a no-holds-barred show. My guests will have differing spiritual belief systems, and some will have no spiritual beliefs. You may or you may not agree with things that are said. What I'd ask you to do is keep an open mind. This way, you can see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now, tonight, I play both host and guest. It's my intention to share an amazing story of triumph over incredible pain, trauma, and coming to a place of triumph in my life and healing. And it's my hope that anyone who out there who is suffering from a similar situation may find hope that they too can recover. Now, I've discussed my journey in my latest book, which is called Occam's Razor Revisited, available on Amazon.com. And the premise of the book is that you can heal yourself. I have been multiply addicted to things like alcohol and sex, and I've suffered from a lifelong history of mental illness, and I've recovered from it all. And it's my premise that you do not need to be a recovering alcoholic, that you can become a former alcoholic. Now, I used to drink a case of beer a day, and today I can safely drink. And for the last 10 years, I have been able to do so. After 16 years of total abstinence, I occasionally have a drink. I generally don't have more than one, and most days I do not drink. So I'm a very moderate drinker, and when I drink, I do not drink to medicate myself or to medicate negative feelings. What I do is just enjoy the taste of a glass of wine, relaxing with some friends and socializing. So the purpose has changed. And that should be the purpose for anything that people might take to an excess, like sex, for example. Now, sex was a lifelong addiction of mine that created a tremendous amount of guilt and shame. And I used it inappropriately by having sex with anonymous partners in tawdry places. And it all began back when I was 22. I was engaged to a woman at the time. And I entered this notorious college restroom where men had sex with men, and discovered that there was activity going on there, and was soon initiated into the kind of ritual that brought about that kind of activity. And I felt very dirty afterwards, but it was exciting too. And it was a toxic bond to my shame, because there was a lot of shame involved in the circumstances and the lack of connection to the person that I had sex with. I didn't even see their face. So this is quite often what happens to gay men, and a lot of gay men are sex addicts. In the general population, 8% of men and 6% of women are sex addicts. and there is recovery. There are a number of 12-step programs out there, and I will talk about them later. But I have been in recovery now for 26 years and do not engage in any of that behavior. I do not even relate to it. And I've discovered that what I did was use sex to medicate as I did with alcohol. And it had nothing to do with sex per se. It was just medicating away feelings like anxiety, sadness, loneliness, anger, hurt, despair, shame, guilt, which only increased my shame and guilt. And it was a vicious cycle that drove itself. So, backing up, as I said, I was engaged to a woman, and I could not accept that I was gay at that point in time. I continued to engage in that kind of behavior in that restroom for a year, and then I met a man that I felt both in a physical and emotional attraction to, and that's when I realized that I was gay, that I could have feelings for another man. And so I came out to my fiance. I felt that she had a right to know that she might be marrying a gay man and that she should have the right to make that choice whether or not she wanted to pursue the marriage. And it was a very emotional situation for both of us because we loved each other. And we decided that that love would be strong enough to support us. And her stipulation to me was that it was okay for me to have sex with men as long as I didn't fall in love with them. So we got married, and that started us down a path that led to a lot of pain. And eventually I did fall in love with somebody, and that was a sad situation. But the marriage ended, and that was the best thing for both of us. We really needed to go on our separate paths. And I do know gay people that are married to straight people, and that those relationships can work, but for most, that's not the case. And sad to say, there are a lot of gay men, and perhaps some gay women too, who are married to partners who are absolutely unknowing of their furtive activities, and they can be put at risk of a lot of disease. While I was in the arena of sexual addiction, I would have sex with these married men, and most of them did not want to engage in safe sex. So just imagine the risk that they encountered and possibly brought home diseases to their wives. So, you know, it's a vicious cycle, and that's the case with any addiction, whether it is alcohol, drugs, sex, compulsive eating, anorexia, compulsive gambling, compulsive shopping, multiple relationships, toxic relationships. The list goes on and on and on. And all those people that are involved with addicts are in what we would call codependent or addictive relationships. They're very dysfunctional. And it is a family disease where both partners share opposite sides of the disease. And I'm not going to go into that, but there are a number of books out there that can be helpful to people. And for those people that are involved with alcoholics, for example, there's a program called Al-Anon, which is a partner program for AA. For those that are involved with sex addicts, there's a program called COSA, C-O-S-A. Now, I will mention some of the 12-step programs out there for sex addicts. There is SAA, which is Sex Addicts Anonymous. There's SLAA, which is Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous. There's SA, Sexaholics Anonymous. However, that program only allows sex between married people, so it's not a good program for a gay person. And then there is SCA, which is Sexual Compulsives Anonymous. So there is a lot of help available out there, and I hope that anybody who is in pain will investigate one of those programs. Now, my book, Occam's Razor Revisited, proposes a very simple solution to recovery from any addiction. It's much more simple than a 12-step program, and it's basically following the golden rule, doing no harm to others, and doing unto others as you would have them do unto yourself. And likewise, that translates into being good to yourself. And it all starts with love. Everything in the universe and in the spiritual realm begins with love and oftentimes leads to forgiveness, because as human beings, we are flawed. And that is just part of our life experience. And so when we do something that we have perceived as wrong, we need to make amends. And we do that by offering an apology or asking forgiveness. And in so doing, we release ourselves from our guilt and shame. And the most important person to forgive is yourself, because that's the person that we tend to judge. There's no judgment from God. God is a loving God, and if you don't believe that, you might want to try that kind of God on for size. I used to think of God as being a God that judged me for what I perceived were my wrongdoings or my sins. The Aramaic definition of sin is simply missing the mark. Now, that's a much gentler way of looking at something that might may be perceived as a wrong by us, and it does not involve shame. It just simply means that we're human and subject to error. And errors can be fixed. We can learn from our errors and our failures. We do not have to think of ourselves as failures. The greatest lessons come out of making mistakes. And so I hope that anybody who is challenged with guilt over a past mistake will try to see what the underlying lesson is. You know, to every dark cloud, there is a silver lining. And what's done in the past can be undone. Now, it's said that what goes around comes around. There is a law of cause and effect in the universe. It's referred to as karma. And we create our own karma in this life and in all the lifetimes that we lead. I believe in reincarnation, and more people are coming to accept that belief. It makes sense, folks. Let's face it. Would God only give you one chance to get it right and then you go to heaven or to hell? We create our own heaven or hell. Why would God inflict something miserable on a simple little child and not allow that child a chance to have another life? Why would God allow war? Why would God allow rape and murder? These are just different things that we need to consider, that it does not make sense if there was not other chances to correct past mistakes. My husband just came into the room, so I was momentarily distracted. I swore I'd never get married again. I had a 24-year relationship after my marriage with a beautiful man named Al, and that relationship came to an end. And then I met somebody young enough to be my son, who I've spent 10 years with, and we just got married 2 months ago. So I'm enjoying a life beyond my wildest dreams, which we all can. Now, getting back to reincarnation, I think it's significant to note that whatever fears or phobias we have in this life come from other lifetimes, if we cannot recognize an indicator from this lifetime. I will say that I'm a survivor of trauma and sexual abuse, and I had to deal with that to let go. And that was a catalyst that propelled me into sexual addiction. But just examining one of my many lifetimes, of which I'm aware of about 12, I had been a prostitute in 19th century England. I had been viciously raped, and then I had been disowned by my family. I had taken on the blame that I had caused the rape, and I went off to the big city, probably London, I don't remember, and became a prostitute and lived my life selling my body in shame and degradation, just out of desperation as a means of survival. Now, in a sense, this really explains to me why I was a sex addict in this life, that karma came around again, and that was the challenge to overcome my shame and to let go of promiscuity. So what I did is I had a multi-life therapy session with one of the top 10 psychics in the world, Mary Blake, who's in New York City, who does multi-life therapy. She regressed me to a few lifetimes, including this one. And I saw it very clearly. I was able to remember my name, which was Elizabeth. I remembered the town that I lived in. And I saw the rape happening. So what she did, and what can be done with any previous lifetime in multi-life therapy, is that the life script for that life can be rewritten so that the trauma is removed. So what she did is, as I was approaching the scene where I was going to meet the perpetrator, spirit emanated from her and commanded me to go in another direction so that rape never occurred. And then I saw the lifetime that followed after that. And in that life, I married, I had children, I had a happy long life, and I died surrounded by my family. Well, the amazing thing was that once that had happened, I snapped out of my sexual addiction in this life. So it is really something significant to note that when one overcomes whatever blocks have existed from previous lifetimes that have created the similar challenges in this life, that if you do regression with a therapy base to it, you can recover from what you're dealing with in this life. Mary Lou McIntyre, who is a regular on my show, reads Akashic Records, which are the books of life for each person. And my callers receive free readings from her. She's on the show once a month, and her website is MaryLouMcIntyre.com. You can Google her for the spelling of that. And in this instance, she does not do multi-life therapy, but she asks the person what their fear is, and then that enables her to open to the life where that fear originated from and to tell the story of how that particular fear originated. And it's absolutely amazing what's happened to the callers. The important thing is that you take whatever knowledge you receive from past lifetimes and apply it to this lifetime, and remember that it's not happening now. And you can be released from whatever negative patterns you've been involved in. Now let's talk a little bit about this life and what we can do to maintain a spiritual path and to maintain happiness. This has been the challenge for me after years of devastating depressions, manias, excessive overindulgence in things that were toxic to me. I've learned that it is so important to focus on the positive. I've learned that thoughts are all powerful. I've learned that I have the power to choose my thoughts when I remain present to the moment. And so awareness is also important. If you are aware, you will be aware of your thoughts and you can choose them. And when you choose positive thoughts, then you are not going to go down the ladder into feelings that are uncomfortable. Thoughts trigger feelings. Thoughts engage us in behaviors. And so it's very important for us to make the choice and to recognize that we have the power to create our own reality. We live in a vibrational universe, and it has positive and negative charges to it, which are neither good nor bad. They simply are. And so if you focus on the positive and create positive vibrations like joy, happiness, love, ecstasy, all things good, serenity, then you will stay in that place. And Joseph Campbell, who was a wonderful philosopher and writer who wrote The Power of the Myth, maintained that you need to follow your bliss. And so this is the example that I would set forth to you, and this is how I lead my life on any given day. It's not to say that I do it perfectly, but most days I stay aligned with my joy, and in so doing, I don't slip down that ladder towards the despair that I used to experience in my life. I have suffered from suicidal depressions in my past. I've attempted to kill myself, and I'm here for a reason today. And I'm here to carry the message that there is hope, that anyone can triumph over any condition, that it is possible to recover from addictions, that it is possible to heal yourself at all levels, emotional, spiritual, and physical. Now, I maintain that spiritual health is the most important one to focus on, and that when you focus on your spiritual health, then the other elements fall into place. It is a balancing act between mind, body, and spirit. And, of course, the mind will generate emotions, the heart. It's important to stay aligned and in balance. And what I do is focus on whatever my perceived needs are at any given point in time. And, for example, we can keep it very simple. If I'm hungry, I eat. If I'm tired, I sleep. If I am stressed, I take time out to take some deep breaths or to meditate. If I'm feeling upset, I call a friend. I take a walk. I play with my pet. It often takes an action step in order to take yourself out of yourself. And there's nothing better than to be of service to another, to get out of oneself and to help another person, to take time to listen. We're in this life to serve one another. And when we are selfish and greedy with our time, our talents, and our treasures, there's nothing for us to gain. And it creates karma that is negative. I used the word bad karma in the past, and that is just a perception because there is no good or bad. We live in a dualistic world where we see things as black or white, good or bad, right and wrong. But there is none of that in God's eyes. It's all good. It's all meant for the best. And there is no limit to anybody's potential. I've heard it said that the cup can be half empty or half full. And that is a lie because the cup is overflowing. And even that is limiting because the cup needs to be larger and larger. Abundance flows at such an incredible rate when one is open and when one is grateful. And I want to talk a little bit about gratitude because gratitude is the pathway to abundance. I heard it said by a very wise metaphysical minister by the name of Harriet Walden that the most important prayer to say is thank you. I was told by an angel reader that the most important thing that I can do each day is to thank God for my life. Now, whether or not you believe in God, if you can recognize that there is some power in the universe that is greater than you, then you have a starting point. No man is an island or no woman is an island, and we are in it together, and we need each other to find our way. And so it's my hope that I've provided some messages of hope for you today, that you can find a better way for yourself. And right now I'm going to play a beautiful song by a New Age singer, New Thought singer by the name of Jennifer Farron. You can find her music at jferron.com. And this is The Light of Spirit by Jennifer Farron. And that was the wonderful Jennifer Farron. That's F-E-R-R-E-N. And I encourage you to support her if you like her music. I will play another song of hers toward the end of the hour or however long we go today. I would like to tell you that I'm a former psychiatric social worker, and I've been in radio for about a year now. I have incredible guests on my show. I've had people like the best-selling spiritual author Richard Rohr. I've had the lesbian comedian Kate Clinton. I have on psychics such as Artie Hoffman, Mary Lou McIntyre, Ada Marie, Danyon, Athena Starr. And Athena and Mary Lou are regular guests, and you can find them on my show once a month. All you need to go to is blogtalkradio.com/author David Clark with an E, and you will find the roster of my upcoming shows. In addition to radio and being an author, I do spirit life coaching. I work with people on reprogramming their thoughts. I work with people on staying positive. It's not an easy road to follow, and it does take a mentor to help one see the pitfalls that one can fall into. And so it is something that it's a service that I offer. I work with affirmations. I work with overcoming past life karma. I do past life regressions. And I do free consultations. And I offer my services on a sliding scale for those who can't afford my normal fee, which is less than what other spirit life coaches charge. If you're interested in doing spirit life coaching with me, you can go to my website, which is authordavidclark.com, and there's a way to contact me there. And you can also find out more about me on that website. Let's see. I would like to tell you a little bit more about some of my other books. Since I talked about myself earlier in the hour as a sex addict, I've written a 5-star book on Amazon.com called Shades of Gay that is a story of a sex addict and alcoholic who faces a major challenge in his life when he's confronted by his partner of 8 years and given an ultimatum. And then he has to make a decision which way he's going to go with his life. And I'm going to just run a little ad on that book to let you know what it's about.
Prepare to be shocked. Prepare to be moved. Prepare to laugh. Prepare to cry. And prepare to be inspired. Dive into David Clark's latest book, Shades of Gay, and you will find yourself plunged into the trenches of sexual addiction. You will embark upon a kaleidoscopic tour from the abyss to higher ground. In the beginning, it was love at first sight when Daniel and Mark met, but through the years, that same love became tainted. Daniel, an alcoholic and sex addict, has found himself unable to resist the lure of other men. When Mark discovers his infidelity, he leaves Daniel, who begins a dark descent into sexual tryst after tryst. Shades of Gay reveals the myriad desires a lost man can permit his body and soul to revel in despite the pain they bring. But can such fleeting moments of pleasure bring meaning to life? Will Daniel realize the love he had with Mark is worth more than the sweat spent in other men's beds?
Now, the thing about Shades of Gay is that it is a very sexually explicit book. It shows the addictions for what they are, and so be prepared to be confronted with very blatant and rampant gay sexuality. It is a moving book. It does have humor in it. It is an uplifting book, and it carries a message that there is hope for recovery, complete recovery. Now, the parallel between my life and the book is that it is essentially based on 8 years in my life, so you can get a flavor for what I went through as a sex addict and the challenges that I faced in a relationship with another person. Now, I wanted to point out how sexual addiction varies from a substance addiction, and the same thing could be said for other process addictions like food or compulsive gambling, compulsive shopping, workaholism, that sort of thing. All of those process addictions that I just referred to create endorphins in the brain, and it creates essentially a groove in the brain where the person gets stuck and sucked back into that groove over and over again to try to get the high that needs more and more stimulation, more and more outrageous behaviors, more and more excess in order to get the high. And, of course, when you put substances into your body, it induces chemicals, which the brain can create on its own. But when you give up drinking, those chemicals are no longer introduced into your brain. And when you give up other behaviors, it's a different situation because we need food to live. We don't need sex, but it can be part of a happy and healthy life. And so we need to integrate that into our lives by practicing moderation. And that's a real challenge. And that's where 12-step programs or my book could be a big help to you. Let's see. Some of the other books I've written have been under the pen name of Davis Aujourd'hui. Aujourd'hui means today in French, and you don't need to know the spelling of that. All you need to do is go to Amazon.com and plug in the titles The Misadventures of Sister Mary Olga Fortitude or Babes in Bucksnort, which are the first two books in a series that I have written 12 books at present and will continue to write in. Sister Mary Olga Fortitude loves her bourbon and her Marlboros. She is under the watchful eye of a rather austere Reverend Mother who's a former prostitute. The convent chef is a gay cowboy. There are all sorts of zany characters. There's a woman named Priscilla Bunhead who spies on her neighbors and gets into everybody's dirty business. And she gets very upset when she discovers that some of her neighbors are gay. She's very homophobic. She's prejudiced. And she calls on the Reverend Billy Bob Blunhead and his born-again or burned-forever disciples for Jesus to come to the little town of Bucksnort, Wisconsin, to try to eradicate the gay menace. And it backfires in the most delicious and outrageous manner when his own secrets are exposed. So those are two books that you can find. And I would welcome anybody to call in during any of my shows. We do receive a lot of callers for shows when there are psychics and seers on, and so it's important to call in early. And the number is 646-727-3116, and then you press 1 to be able to talk to myself and to the guest. So I ask you, what is it that you want to achieve in your life? You can create whatever your heart desires. If you think of the song, When You Wish Upon a Star, when you were a little child, think of how you believed that all of your dreams could come true. And they can. As I said, we live in a vibrational universe. And we put off vibrations every time we have a desire. It's an intention that we set for ourselves, and it sends off what Esther Hicks, who channels Abraham, would say is a rocket of desire. And the important thing is to let it go, and then be grateful for where you are at now. Be grateful for your dreams, be grateful for your current life, and do not dwell on what you do not possess. Of course, that is what can generate these rockets of desire. But the important thing is to not stay in a place of lack, but to believe in a world of plenty, to believe that you are worthy of abundance, that you are a child of the universe or a beloved child of God, however you wish to frame that, and to recognize that God does not make junk. The only junk that is made is what we make in our minds when we cast judgments. And so I ask you to take those judgments and just throw them all away. Throw away that anger. Throw away that jealousy. Throw away that fear. Throw away anything that is not connected to love. And with that said, I'm going to play a song by Jennifer Fearon called Throw It All Away. Once again, that was Jennifer Fearon singing Throw It All Away. And Jennifer, by the way, is a regular guest on my show. She'll be coming up again sometime early in the year, so look for her. She's a wonderful interview and a wonderful spirit. And you all are wonderful spirits. I want you to embrace the wonder that you are and to recognize that there is absolutely nothing in the world that you cannot do. Everything that your heart desires will manifest if you keep your focus on the present, move forward with your life, let go and throw away those things that do not serve you, those things from the past, burn the bridges to trauma, let it go, surrender to the moment, and be optimistic about your future. And with that said, I'm going to close now, and we can now pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who are having a spiritual experience if we allow it. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize.
You have been listening to Different Strokes for Different Folks. To find common ground and take it to the next level, here on Blog Talk Radio with David Clark, every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. You can listen to this broadcast again on srbroadcasting.com.